Dear God, please help us to hear your voice and know more deeply your abounding love for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. There are three things I've seen in my life that somehow exceeded what should have been grossly overhyped expectations. They were the Grand Canyon, the Great Pyramids of Giza, and a Bruce Springsteen concert. Diehard Bruce Springsteen fans will tell you about his concerts, and they'll talk about it in a way that's almost mystical, almost transcendental, almost worshipful, what it is. So about a year ago, I had an opportunity to go see this for myself, and I decided I should at least take advantage of it and go see what all of the talk was about. Now, I'm not a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. I like his music, but it starts to wear on me, it gets a little old, and I get tired of it fairly quickly. But the show, the concert, is something different entirely. He shows up and he just works hard for 4 straight hours. No breaks, no stops, just old school professional entertainment that truly is as good, or at least almost as good, as his diehard friends describe it. And it's something you have to really experience to understand it. It doesn't make sense just listening to the music. The Grand Canyon, obviously different, but I had a similar experience. I was driving out to Los Angeles for a semester of law school, driving back from the East Coast, taking the southern route, and somewhere along the line, I decided I was going to take a detour at the end and go meet some of my friends in Las Vegas for a few days. Looking at the map, I realized I was going to drive right by the Grand Canyon, or within an hour of it, so I figured if I was going to be that close, I might as well go see it in person. I had seen tons of pictures of the Grand Canyon, I'd read about it, and I thought I had a pretty good grasp of what it was going to be. I figured I was going to stay for about 15 minutes because really, it's a hole in the ground. How much can you stare at it? But when I got there, when I got through the visitor station and made it out onto the observatory, I sort of stopped dead in my tracks. And as I looked around, I realized that what I was seeing was so much more than anything I could come close to imagining. It was something bigger, more grand, more awe-inspiring than anything I had fathomed. And until I was there to experience it in person, the magnitude of it meant nothing to me. But once I saw it, it's indelibly printed on my mind just how big the Grand Canyon is. The Great Pyramids of Giza are similar. I went to Egypt a few years ago, flew out the day after Christmas, and managed not to sleep for a single minute on the flight over there. Make it to Cairo about 12 a.m. local time, make it to my hotel around 2:30, and I get about 4 hours of sleep before our tour guide picks us up in a bus the next morning to go start seeing the pyramids and the other sites around there. 4 hours of sleep in the last 36 to 40 hours, and I was groggy, I was jet lagged, I was travel weary, and I was not really focused. So the first thing I noticed when we got to the pyramids were the thousands of tourists that were in front of us. There were miles of tour buses that were stretched out behind us. You could barely walk, you had no elbow room. There were people peddling goods and pyramid t-shirts all around, and it felt like a really bad carnival. But you slowly make your way through it, and you come around the bend, and there, standing in front of you, are the pyramids. Like everybody, I'd seen pictures of the pyramids. In middle school, I'd done a project on the pyramids and talked about their construction, how they were made, when they were made, how big they were. And again, I thought I had a pretty good grasp of what it was that I was getting ready to see. But the experience of seeing it in person, of seeing it up close, completely changes it. They're magnificent. They're gigantic. They're perfectly constructed. And this was done thousands of years ago with no modern equipment. And as that thought began to dawn on me, the fog of my sleepiness began to wear off, and I was just dumbstruck with what I was seeing. Our tour guide, he probably says this to everyone who comes through, explained his theory on how the pyramids were built. And according to him, the ancient Egyptians had figured out some sort of anti-gravitational device to move these giant stones across the desert. And I, of course, started chuckling and laughing at him for explaining this. But you look at it, and that's one of the crazy things. How was this built? So the size of it, the construction of it, the fact that it was built in the middle of the desert with these giant stones with no modern machinery dawns on you, and it just becomes inescapable how grand and great these pyramids actually are. But again, it's something that I could not have fathomed until I was actually up close experiencing it in person. I think that feeling of surprising awe might be similar to how the disciples in today's gospel message felt when they met Jesus. We're in the liturgical calendar season of Epiphany. Epiphany is the season that comes right after Advent. Advent, Christmas time, is when we celebrate, remember, and meditate on the birth of Jesus. The Epiphany season is when we celebrate, meditate on, and remember the revelations of who Jesus was and what Jesus was doing on the earth. It starts with John's account of his epiphany, John the Baptist. He says that when he was baptizing Jesus, he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and rest on Jesus. And for him, this revelation, this moment of epiphany, made sense. He knew what it meant to him. And he said it. He said, "This is the Son of God. This is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This is the one who came before me. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." All of those statements from John the Baptist are enough that they could easily be turned into several different sermons. But what struck me the most in this reading was the encounter, the epiphany moment that the disciples had when they met Jesus. So it starts with two people, Andrew and an unnamed disciple of John the Baptist. It was probably the Apostle John. But they were followers of John the Baptist, and they heard what he said describing Jesus. They were with him when he pointed and said, "There's the Lamb of God. There is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. There is the Son of God." Now, if you think about it, that's a lot of hype. That's a huge amount of praise to heap on somebody. And if I were in their shoes, I would have been curious, but I would have been skeptical. How can someone possibly live up to that audacious amount of praise? But being curious, they walk over and they meet Jesus. And whatever their expectations were, whatever the hype surrounding him was, somehow to them, Jesus met and exceeded those expectations. We know this because those disciples not only stayed with him that day, they became his apostles. They followed him through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension, and after that, they became some of the founders of the church. We still name churches after them today. St. Andrew's, St. John's. That was what the encounter with Jesus did for them. Their epiphany moment when they realized something about who it was that they were talking to. And it was so profound that it irrevocably changed the course of their lives. Andrew, right after he met Jesus, the first day, went and found his brother Simon. He finds him and he says, "Simon, you got to come with me. You've got to meet this guy. We found the Messiah." Now, Simon would have had expectations of what the Messiah was supposed to be, the long-awaited one of Israel. And again, it's an almost impossible-to-meet level of expectation. And this is where it gets funny. Simon follows Andrew. He goes and meets Jesus. And instead of Jesus responding as you would expect, something along the lines of, "Hi, I'm Jesus. Nice to meet you, Simon. Tell me about yourself." Jesus looks at him and basically says, "Hi, I'm Jesus. I know what your name is, but that name is not good enough for you anymore." See, in Simon's epiphany moment, when he met Jesus, Jesus looked at him and knew him. He knew who he was. He knew who he had been. But he also knew that as a result of that encounter, Simon's life was so changed and so different that his old name was no longer sufficient to contain it. He needed a new name. He became Peter that moment. Those were the epiphany stories of the people in our reading from this morning. But they all point to one thing that's still true for all of us today. And it's this. When we truly encounter Christ, the impact on us is profound, beyond what we can even imagine. The church over the last 2,000 years has argued about a lot of different things, many of which were alluded to in this reading this morning. What does it mean that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? What does it mean that Jesus is the Son of God? What does it mean that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit? But one thing has rung true for all Christians throughout the ages, and it's this. When we encounter Christ, it changes us. It changes us in profound ways. Now, our epiphany moments are all different. Some of us have dramatic conversion stories. Some of us grow up in the church. Some of us, like me, wander in and out of our faith over a course of years. But when we have those moments of realizing who Christ is, how much God loves us, how much joy there is in our connection with the Spirit, it's what changes us. And it's not just one-time things. Epiphany is not just a season. It's not just a one-moment event that happens and then we move on. Epiphanies of realizing who and what God is and how much God loves us are part of our ongoing faith journeys. That's why we practice spiritual disciplines. That's why we spend time reading and studying Scripture. It's why we gather together for worship. It's why we celebrate the sacraments and take Eucharist together. It's why we pray. Because no matter what we've heard about Jesus, when we truly encounter Him, it's different, it's bigger, and it's so much more than anything that we expected.